My name is Christopher Ash, and I'm a Principal Legal Officer at the Australian Law Reform Commission. I'm speaking to you from Meanjin, Brisbane, on the lands of the Yuggera and Turrbal people. I extend my respects to their elders past, present, and emerging, and to the traditional owners of the lands wherever you may be listening from. We're here today to talk about the ALRC's recently released final report in its review of the Future Acts regime in the Native Title Act. I'm joined by Tony McAvoy SC, who, as an ALRC commissioner, alongside the ALRC president, Justice Morty Brumberg, led that review. Before I introduce Tony, let me just very briefly tell you about the ALRC. The ALRC is an independent statutory authority, and for just over 50 years now, it has conducted law reform inquiries, which, generally speaking, look at different parts of the law to come up with recommendations about how to improve the law, modernise the law, and to make it more fair and just. Each inquiry is referred to the ALRC by the Attorney General using terms of reference, which set out what the inquiry is to look at. Now to our guest, Tony McAvoy SC. Tony, those letters SC after your name give away the fact that you're a very accomplished barrister. Could you tell us a little bit more about yourself?
Thanks, Chris. Yes, I am a barrister. I'm senior counsel in the state of New South Wales and have been in that role for the last 11 years. I have specialised in native title, but I have also had roles as senior counsel assisting two royal commissions and for a period of time was the Treaty Commissioner for the Northern Territory. I'm a Wurundjeri man from central Queensland, and it's been a great honour to work with the Australian Law Reform Commission on this very important report.
Thanks, Tony. It's been an honour to have you as well. So the inquiry we've just finished was about one part of the Native Title Act. And before working on this inquiry, I'd never worked in Native Title before. And I probably hadn't opened the Native Title Act since I was at university. In case anyone else is in a similar boat, could you please give us just a brief overview of the Native Title Act and the state of the Act in 2026?
Well, when I was studying at law school, the Mabo decision hadn't been made. So in 1992, the decision in Mabo number 2 was handed down by the High Court of Australia, which really changed the face of land law in Australia. And it made certain that First Nations rights and interests, which come from traditional law and custom and have continued to be exercised and understood according to traditional law and custom, can be recognised by the Australian law system. So following the Mabo decision, the Australian Parliament passed the Native Title Act in 1993. And it was a difficult piece of legislation because there was a very detailed land law system already in existence. And the Native Title system had to, in effect, be bolted on. And the recognition of native title by that legislation in terms of its existence generally meant that things could not proceed in the way they had before, and there were different systems and mechanisms that were needed to ensure fairness for everybody.
I had opened the Act. I think it's about 607 pages, so that reflects the complexity that you mentioned then, Tony. The inquiry that we worked on was about the Future Acts regime. In addition to that being a bit of a mouthful and not overly helpful label, could you tell us sort of in a nutshell what it is that the Future Acts regime is about?
Interestingly enough, any act that happened after 1994 to the present day can be a future act, even though it's an act that has happened in the past. But the Native Title Act provides that any act after the introduction and enactment of the Native Title Act that has an effect on Native Title is, for the purposes of the Native Title Act, to be treated as a future act. And that means that by reason of it being a future act, there are special rules that apply to whether you can do that in a way that is lawful. And the original processes which were established under the Native Title Act in 1993 were fairly straightforward and weren't particularly detailed in the way that we see the legislation now. And then there were amendments in 1998.
So as you say, Tony, when the Act was first enacted in 1993, it did contain a future act rights regime, and that one was very different from the one in effect now. So the regime in force today was implemented in 1998, as you mentioned, and that was largely in response to the High Court's decision in the Wick case in 1996. In the final report, I think we note that the bill which became the Native Title Amendment Act 1998, which put in place the Future Act regime, remains to this day the longest debated bill in the Commonwealth Parliament. The debate for that exceeded 105 hours. And for context, the next nearest was the GST legislation at about 68 hours. Now, since 1998, there have been some minor amendments to the Future Act regime, but really our inquiry was the first substantive review in almost 30 years. The terms of reference for the inquiry were incredibly broad, maybe in part reflecting the fact that it was the first review in that time. But in a nutshell, Tony, what was the ALRC asked to do when we were looking at the Future Acts regime?
The request of the ALRC by the Attorney General when the matter was referred for inquiry and report was very broad, and it seems to have stemmed from the parliamentary inquiry into the destruction of the 46,000-year-old caves at Juukan Gorge. That inquiry in Parliament recommended this review be undertaken, but the Attorney General, in settling the terms of reference, asked the Commission to look at the fairness and the efficiency and the effectiveness of the Future Acts regime. So all of the parts of the Native Title Act, which together dictate how future acts are dealt with. In addition to that, the terms of reference refer to the United Nations Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples and the report from the Juukan Gorge inquiry. And it was understood by me, and it's understood by everybody, I think, that has engaged in this inquiry, that the Attorney General was asking us to really look broadly at the system that's in place and identify the problems with it at a broad systems level, and not just look at technical details and come up with some technical response, but very broad inquiry, and to try and give some guidance to the Attorney General and the government as to how amendments might be fashioned to ensure that fairness and efficiency.
As a very large part of our efforts to understand the problems in the regime and how it's working in practice, we spoke to and consulted with a lot of people during the inquiry. So we spoke to native title holders and a lot of other stakeholders in the native title system, including lawyers, industry, and government. And we also received a lot of submissions in response to the papers that we published during the inquiry. What were some of the main messages or feedback that we received about the Future Acts regime?
Well, I think that the main message which could be extracted from all of the consultation is that the system in its present form is really not fit for purpose, that it's not operating in a way that serves anybody very well. And so this review was well overdue, and there are some things that really have to be done. And one of the points of submission that are common across many of the stakeholders is the need for much greater support of the native title prescribed bodies corporate in a way that will allow them to fulfill their obligations under the Native Title Act, to respond in a timely way and in an effective way to the matters which are having an effect on their native title rights and interests, and to ensure that fair deals are being struck and that places of importance are being protected. Another common complaint was the complexity of the system and the way in which the 1998 amendments changed the landscape for future acts is that it set up a system of tenure-based and also interest-based rights in terms of negotiation and mechanisms for approval of impact on native title. And the navigation of that system is really very difficult for most people. It's difficult for lawyers, let alone traditional owners or pastoralists or miners, to understand. There's very few people in the sector that have the ability to understand the detail of the provisions in the Native Title Future Acts regime, apart from those lawyers who specialize in it. And that really adds to the unfairness of the system. It can't be the case that a system that affects so many people's interests is impenetrable by the public at large. People have to understand how it works in order for it to be fair, in order for it to be transparent, and in order for those who work in the system to be accountable.
Now, the final report for the inquiry has recently been tabled in Parliament, and so that means it's now published and out in the world. It's called Fulfilling the Promise of Mabo, Reforming the Future Acts Regime and the Native Title Act. It contains 86 recommendations for reform. Could you give us a brief summary of what the ALRC has recommended in the final report?
In brief, the ALRC report opts for an impact-based assessment of Native Title Future Acts as opposed to the tenure and interest-based process that existed following the 1998 amendments. And so what that means is if there's likely to be a significant impact on native title, then the procedural rights of native title holders are higher. And if the impact is likely to be low or lower, then the procedural rights are less. And this makes a significant change in that at the moment, many small projects are caught up in the complexity of native title when perhaps they need not be subjected to all of the rigors of certain Future Act requirements. The process also, as recommended in the report, aims to ensure that the system that assesses whether Future Acts should be proceeded with, where agreement can't be reached, is as fair as possible and provides guidance to the National Native Title Tribunal, which has to undertake these assessments in the first instance. We know that over the course of the Native Title Act's existence, that the number of objections raised by native title holders to applications for impact on their rights and interests, as the success of those objections has been very low before the National Native Title Tribunal, which has been applying the law as it should. We've formed the conclusion that in order to ensure fairness in the system, then the tests which need to be applied by the tribunal need to change in order to deliver on that fairness. And so there's recommendations about the test, about the conduct of parties in trying to reach agreement. And there's also provisions for the entry by native title prescribed bodies corporate into native title plans, which allows them to be proactive and set out those areas or places in their native title area where the activities will be supported and places where activities might be objected to because they're close to or near or on top of places of importance, or whether it be cultural importance or natural importance. And it seems that that native title plan process would allow for prescribed bodies corporate to encourage and seek to attract the type of development that they would like to see on their country and prioritise that. And so it's a tool that has multiple uses for PBCs if they choose to adopt it.
Thanks, Tony. I think given there are 86 recommendations in there, you've given us a great overview there. Taking a step back and thinking about what it is that those recommendations are underpinned by, or what it is they're meant to achieve, what do you think that their main goal or main underpinning is?
The difficulty in a review of this type is, of course, that it is extremely technical, but the terms of reference were clear in the need to try and secure fairness and efficiency. And I'm certain that the recommendations that the Commission has made in the report do a very good job of ensuring that not only does everybody get procedural fairness in the way they go about undertaking their roles respectively under the new regime, but it ensures that there is real substantive fairness for native title holders, which, to be frank, was largely absent following the 1998 amendments. And it doesn't have to be the case that the respect for those rights and that fairness has to come at anybody else's cost, because it doesn't. What we've been able to do, we believe, is make recommendations which ensure that there is procedural fairness, but overall substantive fairness for everybody in a way that is much more effective and efficient for all people that are dealing with the system.
So the final report and the recommendations are now with the Commonwealth Attorney General and the government for their consideration. Now, like any ALRC report, it's up to the government whether and to what extent they accept and implement any recommendations made by the ALRC. You already touched on just then that these reforms would bring about both procedural fairness and substantive fairness, and that would be a great outcome. But what do you expect would be some of the other impacts from reforming the Future Acts regime as recommended in the final report?
Well, there are a number of recommendations that go to resourcing of some of the parties to the regime. The National Native Title Tribunal will need some extra resources, and everybody agrees that the Native Title Prescribed Bodies Corporate need extra resources so that they can do their job. If those things are attended to, it seems to me that we will increase the productivity in the sector. It will take less time for matters to be resolved because the parties have a system which is fairer, and they are much more likely to be able to be accommodated in their needs and have comfort and confidence in the outcome in a way that's really not possible under the legislation at the moment. We see people taking combative positions when it seems that that's unnecessary. So there would be some significant changes to the system if the government adopts our recommendations, but we don't say that those changes are changes that can't be made within the system. And we don't say that the changes that will upend the very fundamental legal issues which underpin native title rights and the rights of other parties in the system, because it doesn't. What the recommendations do is makes some clear, simplified process that all the parties can have access to. I'm hoping that the Attorney General and Parliament can take the time to really understand what we've set out to achieve in these recommendations and deliver for the community a much improved
future acts regime.
Tony, it's been a pleasure talking about the inquiry with you again. Thank you very much for sharing your time and expertise today, but also throughout the course of the inquiry. Let me also take this opportunity to thank everyone who contributed to the inquiry. So many people gave freely of their time and very generously shared their knowledge and their experience with the ALRC. I'd also like to thank the amazingly talented and dedicated team who worked on the inquiry at the ALRC. Thank you also to you, listeners. The complete final report and summary report are both available from the ALRC's website at alrc.gov.au. Make sure you check out the beautiful piece of artwork on the front cover too. If you'd like to stay in touch with the ALRC and follow our work, I encourage you to subscribe for email updates at the ALRC website and follow us on LinkedIn.